Sorry, I'm late. I had to sort my dogs out. They get a bit the little one gets a bit weird about food, so we have to feed him separately. Yeah, it gets a bit weird. He's a twat. The little one is a twat. Well, I've got a bulldog, and he doesn't get out of bed until now, and so he can want him food, and then the little one's like, "Well, are we going to have a fight about food?" So it's like UFC. It's like two very different fighting styles. You've got like the nippy Taekwondo master or something, and then you've got just like the fat wrestler who's on his way out.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin!
Sapnin!
You are listening to episode 269 of Sapnin Podcast, featuring myself, Sean Smith, and my good friend, Morgan Richards. 69.
Nice. Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards. I've stumbled round the block 1,000 times, and I think it's because a part of me is a dumbstruck dumbfuck.
Yeah, can't argue with that. You gonna do any puns this week?
Well, you know, this conversation is all about needing more
puns.
I'm needing more bricks for some reason.
Yeah, I need a fucking brick. Anyway, yeah, this week's guest is back once again, like a renegade master. It's the beautiful Ben Barlow of Neck Deep.
Oh, what? Oh, fuck Neck Deep, mate. They're shit. Did you hear about... Is that... Nah, only joking. All jokes aside, Neck Deep are one of our dearest regulars on this podcast. But for some reason, Ben has never had his own solo episode. So two things with that. I thought that needed to get fixed ASAP, Rocky. And what better way to do it than today, as we celebrate the release of their new, fifth, and self-titled studio album, Neck Deep, because that's how self-titled works. But no, this band have just evolved into global pop-punk juggernauts worldwide. They've got just fun songs, catchy grooves with hidden messages. It's just all a good time, and that's what we're all about.
Yes, we get... A fantastic chat in with Ben regarding everything from the new record to old records to his brother producing. We talk UFOs and aliens, which is my favorite topic at the moment. How distro deals work, why they didn't enjoy recording in LA so much. And yeah, mad. We did Neck Deep 1, Neck Deep. We did Neck Deep 2, Neck Deeper. So is this technically Neck Deep 3, Neck Deepest?
Could go with it.
Neck. All right. Well, when we do the next one, we'll call it Neck Depth. Neck Depth. See that band, Neck Depth? You know, one of the Welsh pop punk guys. But yes, we had a fucking great time with Ben, as always. I just love seeing him and speaking to him, to be honest. It doesn't matter if it's on this podcast or not. Just the fact, right? They're a band from Wales who's managed to sell pop punk to the place where pop punk comes from. Unbelievable! And like, that's mad. You know, they're massive in America. I love it. It's fucking brilliant. Well done. Well done, Neck Deep.
Literally, they are the kings. right now. And yeah, we're just going to rant about everything from Blink-182 to record labels to weddings to their own conspiracy theories against them in the industry. And we try and pressure him to maybe do something with WWE and Wrexham FC. But, you know, we'll talk about that a little later on. Before we get into it, just a reminder, as always, if you like our rambles, if you like these conversations, and you want it to keep happening, you want to support the boys, then go and support us via patreon.com/sapnin. There's a whole beautiful community over there who are going to gigs on the regular together, meeting up, going to festivals, just having a great laugh. And you can do that too by signing up patreon.com/sapnin. Show us that you're listening to this episode on social media at Sapnin Pod on Instagram and the app formerly known as Twitter. But yeah, without any further ado, let's have a laugh. This is our good friend Ben Barlow of the Neck Deeps on episode 269 of Sapnin Podcast.
Yes. Sapnin!
Oh, you should clean your room.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Sapnin! Sapnin!
Sapnin!
Sapnin!
Yes! Yay! Back for round
six?
Is it actually? Holy shit, I was joking.
Well, you've been on loads of times with the other guys from the band.
Yeah.
As proper episodes. You've come on at festivals. You did the Blink episode with us. It's got to be like, be at least six. Wow.
Yeah, I'm a veteran now.
You are the number one guest.
Gotta be.
Am I actually?
Yeah, we've never had anybody on as much as you.
That's sick. Honestly, I've always kind of wanted to be the number one guest on a podcast because I obviously listen to a lot of podcasts and I'm always looking for them episodes. I was like, they're back. Nice.
Yeah. Okay. Nice.
I'll take it. Take it.
Well, yeah, apologies for not being Joe Rogan's podcast because that would have been much better, wouldn't it, if you were the most visited guest on Joe Rogan's podcast because he's got a slightly bigger audience than us, I think.
Allegedly, I don't know.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm not Jordan Peterson, so.
Ah, that is true, yeah. Yeah, yeah. You don't lean slightly to the right and say idiotic things for cash.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is about it's just so sad that men have to do
it. It's sad that you sound like fucking Kermit the Frog, but shut up.
Miss Piggy left me, and now I don't even clean my own bedroom.
Oh, fuck off, Jordan, you prick.
Fucking make your bed and fucking be done with it. Shut up.
Oh, don't even start. Oh.
Eat some fucking steak or something. I don't know. Do whatever mad shit it is that makes you feel like a man for 10 minutes, Jordan. Okay?
Remember when you...
Whatever.
He only ate steak for months and then he got fucking severely ill and he was like, oh, it's not just because I've been eating meat. No, it's exactly because you've just been eating meat, you daft Canadian prick. No offense to any Canadians, but I couldn't think of another insult to get to him. But what a mad bastard. Like, I saw him posting, right, once. We are going to get into talking about Neck Deep. People listening, stick with us. We're just having a quick rant. We'll have a quick rant and we'll get into everything Neck Deep, right? I saw him post, right, a picture of a plus-size girl, right, and he said, this isn't attractive, right? So I Googled Jordan Peterson's missus, right? Why is it always fellas, right, slagging the people off, right, for weights, looks, gender, or any of that stuff, right? Why are they all married to women who look like chaps? His missus, right, got the sternest man face I've ever seen in my life. And then he can talk about beauty to people. Oh, he drives me fucking... He says the wrong things for money to a deadline. When are people going to fucking wake up and realise it?
I know, he's a grifting man. And as well, he's a psychologist. Maybe that's why he's crying all the time. It's something he won't admit. He knows that he's really directing all of his shit advice at himself, basically. So
it's mad. Yeah.
Very funny. Very funny. But anyway, enough of giant Canadian man babies.
This is a bit of a weird start. I don't think we've had anything to...
It's my fault for bringing him up. He's too easy to rinse.
You've been on enough times now that you have that kind of key just to bring up anything you want. It's fine. But cool. How are you doing behind the scenes, Ben? I mean, it's a very busy time. I mean, gearing up for this new album next week, getting everything in place, going to the States on tour. How's just things at home at the moment? What's day-to-day looking like for you right now?
Really good, actually, man. Like, really, really positive times for the band generally. Just like, obviously, the album in the bag, which is always just a relief, whether it's good or if it's shit. It just means that you can, like, it's done it at least. But thankfully, from what we're hearing, people seem to like it. So we're still...
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, I know. It's one of them. It's all going good. We're in a good place as a band. Like, you know, generally the harmony is harmonious, and we're all on the same page with stuff. And just getting stuff done. And it's just now, you know, we're getting to the period where obviously album's out in like a week, so talking about it a lot, and it's getting me excited because, from you know, obviously when you do a record and you sit on it for a minute, you don't forget about it, but you're kind of tight-lipped about everything. So it's good to finally be able to talk about it.
Well, how long have you been sitting on it?
Honestly, some of the songs on there for ages, man. Yeah, some of them for like a couple of years at least.
Wow.
We're always dipping into old ideas, you know. Seb's got a vault of every demo we've ever done, so you know, we're always flicking through that. But some of them came together a couple of years ago, some of them came together in the studio. It's just kind of how it goes, really. You know, some songs we wrote in a day, some songs took ages. Album got pushed back a bit anyway, just because we switched up what we would say switched up. We obliterated the schedule and decided to start again halfway through. But there you go.
Nice. What caused that? What was the thing? Were you just all not happy with how it was, or?
Yeah, well, we went out to LA, and it was just like pretty immediately we're just like, this is not the vibe. Like, you know, both with what we were getting done in the studio and with just like being out in LA, like we were like right out in the sticks. It wasn't even like, you know, we were there with all the influencers, and that was there was stuff happening. There was nothing happening where we were. It was just like there was a coffee shop around the corner, but we're up in Calabasas, so it's like a lot of wealthy people.
Yes.
You know, are all, you know, they can all drive their Teslas out to where they need to go. But five English lads who are used to walking everywhere and getting public transport, we were like, this is shit. There's nothing to do. And yeah, it was just the vibe wasn't right. Like in the studio, like it was just things weren't sounding the way that we wanted them to sound, both like, you know, tonally with things, but then also just like, I don't know. It's not always when you work with when you work with a producer, you have got to consider their input. Like that's just kind of part of that. And obviously if it's someone that you click with, sharing that input isn't such a task. But I think we realized pretty soon in like, there's just things happening here that just aren't neck deep or aren't what we want from this record, you know? Like, we simplified a lot of what we were doing, wrote a straight up pop punk record, but we didn't want it to be like cheesy or played out or like too just like cookie cutter, really. And we felt like it was maybe on a bit of a production line of just like, that little trick does that little trick does that. Now we have a song, and we were kind of like, yeah, but it's a song that sounds, doesn't have any personality. It doesn't sound like anything. It sounds like just everything else. So yeah, so it was rough. It took, I think it was me and Seb, I think, that pulled the trigger initially of just like, this is not going as well as we thought. And yeah, but luckily again, everyone on the same page, and we can all be honest with each other about how we feel. I think
that's class. Yeah,
bit,
that's awesome.
Bit rough. I think there was, you know, highly strung for a little bit, but as soon as we got back in our studio, it was like, cool, we can make the record we want to make now.
Yeah, well, I think that shows two different things with you. I think it shows growth, because there's not a lot of bands that would be in that situation that feel like they could say that and say to a producer and be like, look, we don't think this is working, let's just part ways. I think a lot of people would be pressured with that, but also having Seb in the band, who is a certified producer himself,
yeah,
when stuff like that does go wrong, I mean, it is easy to just be like, well, you do it then.
yeah. I mean, yeah, that was kind of, because again we had very little time to like try and figure out any sort of other producer or anyone else that we wanted to work with, and we weren't even sure if that's what we wanted to do. And it was just like, well, you know, we can do this ourselves. Like, we have a studio space. All right, it needs a bit of TLC, but we have a studio space. We have Seb. We've written 4 albums before this. Like, we know what we're doing. And I think it was part of that as well. Like, you know, partly like confidence in our own abilities. It was like, no one knows the band better than we do. And nobody knows what we want to get out of this better than we do. And if we're having to go through the ringer of having to explain what we want it to sound like, and it's not clicking, it's just like, well, we can just do this ourselves. And it turned out, like, you know, at first we thought it was this huge setback, and it was like, oh damn, you know, this sucks. But it turned out to be that's what the record turned out to be. You know, that's probably what the record always could or should have been, really. And it did give us a bit of a hook for what we were doing, really. And yeah, that led to the self-titled and everything as well. So.
Yeah,
nice. Did you take any bits that you used in LA and used them on the record, or was it just a complete scrap and restart?
Yeah, I mean, the songs were they're all the same songs, but there's just like bits taken out, or maybe we changed certain bits. And again, a lot of it was like tonal stuff. A lot of it was just like, this isn't hitting the way we want it to hit. Like, these guitar turns aren't quite right. And like I said, just, yeah, it's a lot of transition stuff. A lot of transitions out of verses into choruses and into bridges and stuff. Like, I find those are the parts where sometimes songs can get a bit like a bit formulaic, you know? Drum fill, stop, chorus.
Yeah. Sometimes I feel like, yeah, those transitions literally make or break a song.
Can do, yeah.
Yeah, they need to fucking flow beautifully. Otherwise, it can either be clunky or just, oh, I've heard this a million times or whatever. So, yeah, no, exactly. I completely understand. I bet Seb was chuffed when you got back, and he was like, oh, there you go, boys, I'll do it then. And then he was like, oh, nice, glad we went to LA, boys, I've been here the whole time.
Yeah, well, he's opened himself up for a whole load of work in the future, I'd say that. And I think he was stoked at first, but by the end he was like, oh yeah, this is why I don't record bands anymore, because I'm just staring at MIDI constantly, and I'm moving things a millimeter for hours and hours and hours. So yeah, but fair dues, he smashed it. Seb was working on it, you know, longer than any of us, because he had to do all the stuff that comes after. But yeah, and I think in the studio, I could, like, when we were in LA, I could tell Seb was.
Yeah.
I can read Seb pretty well, and I know if he's jumping out of the room every 10 minutes to go for a vape or to just fucking pace around, I'm like, he is not down with this. Hold on, my dog's whinging. Give me a sec. So yeah, I could tell that something wasn't right, and got in the studio, and yeah, just straight back into it. It was like old times, like sitting in his room and just hovering over his shoulder, and yeah. Me and Seb are very, I think that's really added to like to the writing process is because me and Seb have got like a pretty telepathic thing when it comes to music. We both love the same things, even down to like the way that words are sung or like just the feel of a lead or a guitar part or something like that. You know, we can flip through ideas and sounds and this and that for hours and go, no. And we'll both perk up at the same time and be like, that's the one. So yeah, you know, that's the ultimate relationship with a producer, is having that telepathic thing. And I don't know why we ever thought we should do it any differently, really, but
it's just one of the excuse to go to LA. Not that you need one, but like maybe you just wanted to go out there.
Yeah, to an extent, I think labels just love sending bands out to LA. I don't know what the deal is. Yeah, it's and it seems LA is like kind of post-pandemic, I think, especially. I mean, even before that, it was like didn't quite have the same like draw. I know a lot of people up and left LA at a point, you know. And you can definitely feel that. It definitely feels like a different place now. It's the homeless situation is like crazy, crazy. It sucks to see that, you know, obviously just the sheer scale of it and how badly people are suffering, but it's sketchy as well, man. Like America's like a bit of a wild west right now in terms of you just don't know what the hell people are going to pull or do. You know, I've met like homeless people out there before who I've like really connected with and like helped out, you know, tried to help out and just tried to treat like a human. But then I've had experiences with homeless people out there where I'm like, I need to get the fuck away from you or you are going to smash that hammer into my skull. Like, yeah, it's pretty gnarly. But yeah, it sucks going out to LA and seeing this, you know, this place that was once like pretty popping, kind of the center of a lot of different subcultures to now where it just feels very disparate and kind of not so well connected. But yeah, I do think labels just love sending bands out to LA and going, that's it. You're going to make a great record. It's like, not necessarily, you know?
Yeah. Well, while we're talking a bit of inside baseball and behind the scenes stuff, I did want to talk about this kind of weird period you had before this record where you were kind of not on a label and independent, because I've noticed on a lot of stuff that you've put TV Records on the notes, which is a wonderful full circle little meme moment with all the fuck neck deep mate this shit.
Yeah.
Ben's dad owns a record label.
But
like, out of the context for that, what was that period like being off a label and then re-signing with Hopeless? Was it a weird point in the band? Like, how did that materialize?
It was a bit of a weird point. It was the first time we've been without a label for a long time, and we were exploring loads of different options. Like, hey, do we stay independent? Because that's a great option. Obviously, it allows you a lot of freedom. You have total control, but also the workload increases tenfold. You know. So there was that consideration to make. And then, you know, I think when we were mulling stuff over and we were looking through deals and stuff, it's one of them where you kind of realize that, like, it's no slight to our label, but actually, and kind of, you know, props to them, because we ended up re-signing with Hopeless, because after kind of shopping around a little bit, it was one of them where we were like, a lot of these labels are kind of the same. They're all trying to grift you in some kind of way, or most of them anyway. You know, you get the whole ringer, you get smoke blown up your ass, and then it's like, but we'll buy you for pennies and you'll get nothing. We receive everything, you receive nothing. And it was just this weird thing of like, we've been with Hopeless for 10 years. They've never really done us wrong. We've had some great success with them. We're an important band on their roster. We have a great relationship with people there. And so it kind of just made sense, because ultimately, like, we're dumbasses. We couldn't run a label. I'd love to say I'm productive enough, but we're not. But, you know, the TB Records thing is like, we license our music out through TB Records. So yeah, there's still, you know, there's more ownership and control there that we have now, which is great. And again, you know, I struck a real happy medium with Hopeless, and it's like really mutually beneficial, which is cool, because I think maybe labels these days maybe have to switch up how they do their business a little bit. I think I would like to think the days of 360 deals and all that sort of stuff are like slowly dying out and slowly fading away. But yeah, we struck a good deal with Hopeless, and it's kind of like better the devil you know in a lot of ways. You know what I mean? Mm. Like grass is always greener. You always think that it's going to be so much different on a different label. And half the time it's just about having people that understand you and get you and understand the sort of the journey of the band is like such a key thing. So yeah, ended up going back, and honestly, yeah, very happy. It's one of those things. I think maybe people pay a lot of attention to labels and like what label bands are on, and I get it to an extent. You know, labels kind of come with a certain identity. You know, I think back to like Drive Through Days, and like even like Geffen at one point had like this huge roster of like really all the bands I love tend to be on like either MCM or or Geffen at some point. And so like, yeah, you know, that can be important, but not so much these days. We're just stoked that we're working with people who know us. We know them, good relationship. Why start again? And yeah, I would love to be independent, but it's a lot of work.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Can you explain to our listeners the difference between a record deal and the distribution deal that you've kind of got with Opus?
I mean, it's tough because you know, I'm not fully clued on the exact specifications of what quantifies a distribution deal or a licensing deal or whatever. But like, as in simple terms, I guess when you sign just like a straight up record deal, the label, I guess, owns that record in perpetuity, and they kind of have that forever. That's what they're paying you for. And then when you're doing like a licensing deal or like a distro deal or something, well, a distro deal, I think, is like, okay, well, the label will just distribute it. They'll put it out into all the right places. They'll basically make the physicals and ship and distribute and put it out and get it made and put it out into the world. Whereas I think the license deal is like, it's like a, like having a phone contract almost, like, you know, at the end of it, at the end of the term, you own the phone. And that's, I think, kind of where we're at, you know? Oh, here we go. The fucking little dog is pooing my head in. He wants to come and sit on my knee. So.
It's all good. Get him involved.
It's fine. We've had a few animals pop on episodes before, so why not, eh? You know, share the love.
Yeah, this is his thing. If we're sat at the table fairly early, or like just, you know, in the mornings, he's wants to sit on your knee, and yeah, probably try and drink my coffee, but there you go.
No, but I appreciate you sharing the insights into all that, because I think like music's one of those weird forms of entertainment where you don't see like contracts like reported on. Like, you know, I know you're a massive sports fan. We know everything about a footballer's contract, about like how long they signed, how much money they're on, what's the like all random shit. But with music, you kind of don't, it's all like blurred and it's kept really much a secret. So I do appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah, it's cool. I think honesty is the best policy to that sort of stuff. I think like, why be shy about it? Like, it, you know, this is part and parcel of it. Like, I don't know, I'm not shy about it anyway. Maybe someone somewhere will be annoyed about it, but whatever, you know, it's honesty is the best policy. I feel like, why be shy?
Nice. So did you technically fund the album yourselves and then go to Hopeless?
No, they funded the record, but it's just, they funded the record. To be fair, we probably wasted a lot of their money doing switching up halfway through. But again, you know, they were cool about it when we went and did that and decided that we were going to switch up. They were cool. They were supportive. They were just down to get the best record they could. And that's testament to them, because a lot of labels would just put their foot down and say like, no, you're doing what we've agreed. And they allowed us a lot of freedom with that. But I think eventually the record will own the record again, and that'll be ours after a certain amount of time. And we receive all the royalties from it for them.
Ooh.
So
Ooh,
yeah, it's good. And fair dues to them as well. Like I said, it is a good deal. We're one of a few bands in that aren't in like, you know, maybe have earned a good deal.
Yeah. Yeah, bastards. Yeah, I am. I am. I'm just about. I'm just about to start legally fighting the Blackheads' first record label for thousands and thousands of pounds that they owe us. So that's fun.
Get it. Go get it, man. Yeah, I'm
fucking
sure.
Gonna try. Yeah, I'm gonna try I'm one sure. way or the other. bastards.
But on the other side, it must be nice to also have TV records and everything, and just kind of win in that whole meme. Yeah. Debacle that's been for years. Because I'm sure, as much as funny and as much as you've embraced it and like sold merch and stuff, I'm sure there's still one or two people who believe that as an actual statement rather than a
Shit dead. Yeah.
Well, I see it quite a bit. Like, people will leave that comment as like a joke, like, just the fuck neck deep, mate, they're shit. And then you'll get someone who's maybe only just started listening to the band. It's like, what? There's no need to be rude to them on the internet. It's like,
offended on your behalf.
Yeah.
Leave my Ben alone. He's all right. This our Ben.
I can defend myself. It's all good. Yeah, and as you know, new fan. They're just new. You know, they'll get it eventually. We're a self-deprecating bunch, and we don't take ourselves too seriously. And so, yeah, it's quite funny watching people argue in the comments here and there, but.
How much did you actually campaign for this album to be called Asses to the Matters?
Mate, big time. I was so down for that. That was my favorite title. That was 100% my favorite title. I was like, Asses to the Matters would be just, yeah, it's very Blink. It's very just like tongue in cheek. It's like not related to the album necessarily. It's just this snotty little statement. But yeah, the rest of the band went down. They're like, too much. However, I will campaign for the next one to be called Assets to the Matters Volume 2.
I was going to say, yeah, you've got to do 2. That'd be so good.
Yeah.
Well, technically, the last one was the first one, but the boys weren't having it, so.
Yeah, exactly. yeah, there was a few other album titles floating around as well, but. You know, it was one of them. It couldn't. It's hard naming an album because it's like, how do you encapsulate, 10, 12, however many songs in like one short, snappy statement? And yeah, it was tough. So the self-titled was the one. I mean, I'd be lying if I said it wasn't a bit of an easy option, but also the fact that, like, yeah, you know, we did this ourselves. So if there's ever a time to do a self-titled, like, fuck it, now's the time.
Nice.
You brought up, there would have been a very Blink name there. I mean, obviously, we all know how much that band means to you. You've been on this podcast before with Derek Estate Champs and Steph of Greywind talking about that in particular. But obviously, since then, Tom has actually come back. You know, they've put that new album out one more time that has gone down a huge success. How was your reaction to all of that? I'm just very intrigued to see, like, with something that big, there could be a lot of pressure on it and they can maybe not live up to the hype, you know, especially when you see like movies and stuff being remade and all that kind of things. But yeah, how did you feel about this new Blink album and finally seeing the three of them back together?
Yeah, well, yeah, Tom back in the band, I think the whole music scene was like a little bit more complete, you know. It was like, it's a sad thing, you know, because they've obviously had a couple of periods where Tom's not been in the band, and it, through both of those, it's kind of felt like there's a little hole, you know, there's something that's not quite right. So that, you know, especially me, who's been a fan since I was, you know, since a little kid, like it fills a little space in my heart. But I thought the album was great. I thought, you know, I think Terrified was my favorite track up there, which I think was the old Boxcar song, which makes a lot of sense. But yeah, it was cool. It was cool to have Tom's like snotty, like his voice sounds back to like self-titled kind of era Tom, and yeah, just having like that snotty kind of attitude there. I think maybe previous records have missed that a little bit, and so yeah, having Tom back was awesome. And I think as well, just for what that did for like pop punk as a genre, it kind of shone a light on the genre for a minute, and has probably set, you know, bands like us up for a good year, and has put a few extra eyes on us, you know, just in terms of the profile of pop punk kind of being raised a little bit. And yeah, now you can be a pop punk drummer and marry an A-list celebrity. It's cool to be in a pop punk band again. Yeah. So yeah, I think it would have done loads for our world for sure, just in general. And just to have Blink back, it's like having those kind of the godfathers of it being there for you, and then you know, flying the flag. I actually got a chance to speak to Mark recently. One of the coolest things about this whole process, about this record, like kind of cycle, was like, I think we put out Bricks, and then Mark messaged me and was like, I love this song, I'm listening to it like all day. He said it's his anthem of the year already. I was like,
nice.
Genuinely was like shaking, like, oh my god, because I don't really get like a whole bunch of like important people reaching out to me, other than you guys, of course. But
he's lying about that.
You know, Mark Hoppus is kind of like another level, and so yeah, that was really cool. That
like,
was
like, yeah, but come on, like 14-year-old you, like, I know you've told of him a bunch, and he's on the song and everything like that. But when stuff like that happens, 14-year-old you must just be like, what the fuck is this about?
Yeah, yeah. Because, like, he just came up and popped up out of nowhere. And that's the thing. Like, usually, you know, when we've toured together, it's been like, okay, cool, we're touring. And, you know, this is the thing. But for him to be, like, just genuinely super stoked on something was, like, and it did. It did bring back, like, kid me would have been, like, would have never, ever, ever believed you. I remember once hearing a rumor, or Seb told me he allegedly had Mark Hoppus's, like MSN or like his whatever, like had his thing. And we were like, oh my god, can you imagine? And we added him, and I think he did used to pop up every now and again, but like we were desperate to try and like talk to Mark Hoppus or whatever. And here we are now, you know, probably 20 years later or something, like,
and he's just, you know, fucking texting you out to the blue.
Yeah, I know, man. It's crazy. Crazy.
If that happened to me, right, every time that happened to me, I'd have to go, everybody, shut up! Mark Hoppus has just texted me. I have to read it out loud.
Yeah, I put it Ben. In the group chat immediately. It was literally like, my heart is fucking pumping. What do I say? What do I do? And
that's amazing. Yeah, I fucking love hearing these stories. I love hearing these stories of people in bands being appreciated by their heroes, because it's fucking brilliant. And people say never meet your heroes because they're dicks, you know, because they'll probably end up fucking ruining a few. And that's never been the case for me, to be honest. Like, everybody I've met who I've loved has been absolutely top notch.
Yeah, yeah, same. Yeah, I met him first time when I was about 19, so I was like even more bushy-tailed, starry-eyed. Yeah, he was literally the nicest dude. So,
but that's the thing, like, he doesn't need to be. Like, he does, yeah. Like, he could be a cunt to everybody, and everybody like, oh, that's fine, yeah, he's Mark Hoppus from Blink-182, he's allowed to be a cunt.
Yeah.
But he isn't. He's genuinely a top chap, so, yeah, what a lovely fella.
Mm.
What a lovely chap.
Is it true that you almost had Tom on a song on the last record, or is that just internet blowing things up?
I don't know if any actual feelers were put out. I think there was some contact at some point, maybe. I don't know if we... I think there was some contact at some point, and it was something like he would be down to do it, but couldn't do it in the time frame that we like needed him to do it or something like that. And also, to be honest, there was part of me that just wanted that bit for myself because I got to kind of cosplay as Tom for a minute. But it was on I Revolve, and it was the, like, caught in your sunbeam, I only spent. It's just super Tom DeLonge bit. Like, so, yeah, I would have loved it. It would have been awesome, but I was also like, I'm too proud of that bit to let it go, but would have been awesome. But I'm not sure. I don't think it went very far at all. I don't think it went very much further than, like, a couple of emails, but...
He's too busy looking out his telescope, isn't he? That's what's going on at the moment.
Yeah, working with the government, trying to find them chandelier. The chandelier one the other day, it was weird.
And the jellyfish one.
The jellyfish one.
What is that? It looks like a fucking plastic bag upside down that's really long, but it's not. Obviously not. This is the year. This is the year that we get told, or we all see something that we can't explain.
I hope so. It was meant to be last year, but
yeah,
just drip fed, isn't it?
Yeah, and apparently 2027 is the big year something's going to happen. They've been touting for a while. Like that Lou Elizondo, who works with Tom at To The Stars, used to work, he was saying 2027 something big's happening. So, yeah.
I heard 2029. I heard 2029, apparently. Yeah, yeah. That's my information is 2029, but I'll take it 2 years earlier. That'll do.
Yeah. Well, I do. Well, it depends what it is, isn't it? If it's crushing death to it, well, no, do you know what? I will take it earlier. If it is crushing death to everybody on Earth, bring it
on. Yeah, if it was just straight up Death Star, it would done. Like, yeah, I'd maybe take that at this point. Yeah, but hopefully not. I'm hoping that they're like Yoda type, like little. Well, from what we have seen or heard, most of them tend to be fucking tiny anyway. But I'm hoping they're like little benevolent guys, but again, other accounts I've read, other accounts I've read say they stink of piss and they will attack you immediately. So
yeah, a very ammonia smell I've heard. Yeah,
yeah.
So it's either they're either tiny or they're 8 foot tall is what a couple of descriptions.
No in between. Yeah,
yeah. But yeah, and they seem to be very interested in nuclear. Sites as well. So obviously,
right?
Yeah, they don't want us to either destroy ourselves or destroy the planet that they are also mining stuff from, I'd imagine. Look at us. We have gone fucking wild about
this. Is going very deep. I like it.
Straight into the deep UFO conspiracies. Yeah, well, not even a conspiracy at this point, but yeah, that was what I've heard too. Nuclear stuff and war zones, which might be good signs. It might be cool. That might be them saying, like, stop killing each other, you idiots, which would be nice, but
yeah. That's the thing, isn't it? Yeah, that's kind of how I feel, is that I think they're here to protect us from destroying each other. Also, I think they probably created us as well. At the same point, I think they probably took a monkey and went, right, that, but fucking, let's get it fucking a bit more intelligent.
Yeah, like Ivan Drago. Like that kind of vibe, but instead there was something that went wrong and we all started fucking, there was some little gene splice went wrong and we all just turned into horny little fucking like barbarians. Basically, they were like, no, these guys were meant to be like higher beings, but instead we've just made a scourge on the earth, basically. But there you go.
I could go so deep into this, but I will not.
Yeah.
Well, at least we know what the concept of the next record is going to be like now. So there we are. Well, just do a whole. Do an album, just all alien conspiracy lyrics, I wonder if they'll like reach out.
Yeah, someone asked me the other day, like, what do you think aliens would think of Take Me With You if they heard it? I was like, they would either obliterate me immediately, or, you know, maybe they'd be down, but I don't know. I don't think they've got the capacity to like enjoy music from what I've heard. It just seems like they're more a bit more pragmatic with their approach. Very much the materials they can harvest, I think, probably less than the musical material that we're providing. They're gonna go, I don't give a fuck about Neck Deep, mate. I'm here for the diamonds. Shut up.
But going back to what you said there about just this like resurgence of Blink, and there's so much love for nostalgia and bands we've all known and loved doing new things lately. And I found it interesting what you said there, like it's helped you guys out and bands in the scene for like another year just off the hype of this. Like when a band like Blink or Green Day or even like more emo stuff like My Chem or Paramore or anything are doing big shows again and are back, how much more excitement do you see within the whole scene? Because it must trickle down and help every band on different scales. Like, have you seen a lot of that?
Yeah. I do think alternative music as a whole is getting a bit of a bump at the minute. I'm starting to hear it creep into like pop music a bit more. And you know, there are very few pop artists or pop music that I'm super stoked on. You know, loads of it sounds the same, but every now and again people come along, and I actually think Olivia Rodrigo is probably doing a lot for our world as well. Like, I actually think her songs are sick. I think her lyrics are great. I think she's like, yeah, she's bang on. And for once I'm like, yeah, cool. I'm kind of stoked to see pop punk and alternative music getting kind of filtering into the mainstream a little bit, because it's being done well. So I think, yeah, with Blink coming back, Green Day releasing a new album, same day as us, to be fair. So, yeah. We've had to let the competition... Like, that's something as well in the past, man, has been a bit of a... don't know, a bit of a thorn in the side, I think, occasionally, is like shooting for a number one. You got to get a number one, got to get a high chart position. And it's just like every time something pops up for us. So last time it was like Taylor Swift released an album for no reason. Thanks. And then Kanye maybe at some point. Yeah, exactly. And then
fucking hell.
Now it's Green Day. So we're at the point where we're just like, well, don't worry about the chart position or whatever. But yeah, I think with all of the, you know, a couple of legendary bands coming back and making a comeback, and then it kind of just the sound and feel of alternative music kind of coming back into things. It's a good time, and you know, I would expect to see a lot of bands leveling up, or you know, a lot of new bands coming through and doing good things. And if we can be a part of that, then fuck yeah! It feels like we're kind of a part of it at the minute, which is cool. Like I said, things at the band just feel good at the minute. It just feels like a good time, and you know, maybe the record is well timed. I think we would have made it regardless of, like, we would have made this record anyway, regardless of how current music trends are going. But it seems like we just right place, right time with this one.
Nice. Well, my conspiracy theorist brain, because it's fully in gear now, we've been talking about UFOs. It sounds like somebody in major music wants to stop Neck Deep getting absolutely massive by putting out massive people's records the same day.
Yeah, wouldn't surprise me.
The fucking Illuminati. You need to start rocking the triangle more on stage.
That's right.
Let's go!
Hanging out with Jay-Z. Yeah, I know, man. It's, could well be. They've heard Take Me With You and they're like, this guy knows too much. Shut him up.
Kanye West was like, I'm not having this shit. Put a record out now. I can't be having this. I don't know anything about this. Oh, I wonder if Kanye... So was Kanye the last album you said?
I think so. I think it was... Oh, no. I'll tell you what, actually, this might be a fucking source of embarrassment. So it was Taylor Swift and Ronan Keating.
Oh,
fucking record. And it was something like Ronan Keating had some like fucking deal with like Sainsbury's to like push the shit out of his record. And so it was like we got beat to the punch through middle class fucking mums just like fucking buying the Ronan Keating album. So yeah, kind of embarrassing really.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say Ronan Keating did a deal with Satan. I was like, well, that makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. But the thing is, Ronan Keating and Taylor Swift. Finally, how long have we been asking for Taylor Swift and Ronan Keating albums? And then two come at once. What they need to do is just duet, and then that's the end of the world then. That's probably the sign of the apocalypse.
A Taylor Swift cover of You Say It Best might actually be When You Say Nothing At All. That's actually a banger. That's a great song. That would be great. Yeah. But nah, it's one of them. I think just clouds your judgment on records as well sometimes. It's like, you know, if it doesn't get top whatever, you're like, ugh.
I was just checking because I was wondering if Kanye was like putting his album down to shoot you down because you were friends with Blink-182. And obviously Travis nicked his missus.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Not nicked his missus, but is involved with the missus. Yeah, is part of the family. Yeah.
Yeah, Travis is influencing the family now in ways that he doesn't like. I think there was one record where Kanye put out a record, and yeah, maybe selfish, he's threatened by just very selfish. It's like, mate, come on.
Why not look around? Like, yeah, just have a who's putting records out that week, Kanye? Have a look into it, Kenny. Come on, man. Fuck's sake.
Whose momentum can I stump this week? Yeah. Oh, these five idiots from Wales. Yeah, fuck it. There it is. You target. Yeah.
I do feel like you are in this kind of sweet spot at the moment with kind of the excitement for new stuff and also nostalgia, because you've just come off this kind of really intimate tour celebrating the 10 or 11 years of Ring in July. And that must have just been a really cool experience to go back to venues all around the UK and the States and everywhere that you were playing back in the day, very low capacity, and just kind of reconnecting with younger self and especially those lyrics.
Yeah, and it was definitely a nice reminder. I think kind of came around at just the right time, really, I think, as well. Because like, as soon as we got in practicing and started playing some of those old songs, it was like, oh yeah, it was nice and nostalgic. And then when we started playing the shows, it was like, this is actually a huge part of our band that we've maybe forgotten about a little bit, or at least kind of, you know, moved on from a little bit. And it was a nice reminder of like, we need to keep that element of the band and keep that energy. Like, you know, we'd gotten so used to the sort of, the sort of bigger shows where it's like more production, a bit more of a show. But like those little shows, you know, it sounds a little cliche at times, but those little shows are like a different beast. It's much more about that connection with your fans. And then when you're playing old songs to people and, you know, you're seeing fans that you've known for the entirety of the band, and it does, it's a nice little callback. Although I will say towards the end, got a little bit sick of it, a little bit. Like, because there was definitely some lyrics and stuff in there and like just songs where I think all of us were like, what the fuck is this? What, like lyrics, I was like, I'm not singing that. That's cringy as fuck. And just like, I don't know, just like, why has this song got four verses? Why is it a verse, then a verse, then a chorus, then a verse, then a verse? Like, it's just dumb. Like, so yeah, it was nice to kind of look back and, you know, feel as though we've, while those songs, there's something special about them, and it's a specific kind of time energy that's bottled up into this into those EPs. We've definitely come a long way since then. I think we're better songwriters and, you know, better musicians for it. So yeah, it was cool. But towards the end, it was like, fucking hell. And as well, because we did a few of them as like last minute little things, like, you know, if we were on our way from a festival to another fair, we had a couple of days off or something, we would do one of them. And also people complained that there wasn't enough of them, so we tried to add more, but then by the end of it, it was like, this feels less special because we're just like kind of recycling it a bit. So nipped it in the bud and said like, yeah, that's it for that. But definitely played into the whole like self-reflection and rediscovering where we came from and that sort of stuff. And yeah, a nice reminder when we needed it. And I think that's kind of been the theme of this whole record, really, has been like simplifying, getting back in touch with who we are as a band and what we're about. And yeah, they definitely help for sure.
Yeah, I think reminder's the perfect word there, especially as a lyricist, and just kind of seeing how far you have come, because, you know, you've always liked to incorporate like little hidden jokes or politic lyrics or references in songs in between reflecting on life and just things that's gone on to you. So yeah, it must be weird when those things happen and just kind of take yourself back and then think, like, on the one side being like, oh God, what? Did I think this was funny or this is funny? Mm-hmm. And then also just being like, I'm glad that I've changed things up a little bit and seeing where you are now.
Yeah, evolved. Like, I'm still really proud of those old songs, especially like, there's still some great lyrics in there that I'm like, damn, 18-year-old me was going through some shit, and that's cool. But yeah, it was definitely needed. Definitely a needed reminder, because I think it reminded us what we loved about the band when it started and what fans loved about the band. And like, when you're in that moment on stage and you're not really thinking about, or like, it's like not really being able to think straight, but kind of thinking about everything all at once, and you just get little snapshots of like, yeah, this is what it's about, man, this is so sick. And like, you know, see some kid flying over the barrier and you're like, you know, that you saw at a show 10 years ago and you're like, fuck yes, this is special. This thing between me and you is more than just like, hey, you're having a good time at the show. It's like, fuck yeah, man, we've like grown up together in a lot of ways. And like, you can tell how much the music means to them. And it is a kick up the ass. It is like a wake up call of like, this is real. Like, this isn't some game that you're playing that you're just trying to sustain yourself, or you're trying to be the coolest band or whatever. Like, what we have is so insanely special. A lot of that sounds to the fans as well. Like, again, it sounds cliche, but we specifically with Neck Deep, I think, have like a really, really dedicated fan base. And, can't take that shit for granted, man.
Yeah. I think that happens with a lot of bands. Like, I think a lot of bands, you get so kind of insular and you focus on it being a business so much and it being your work that you forget how amazing. It's like when the Blackout came back last year and we did Download Festival. Like, we were like, is anyone, number one, our tent is fucking closer to Slam Dunk than it is in Downloads, right? We were the furthest tent away, right? I wouldn't walk over here to see us. And I'm fucking desperate to see us. I'm desperate to play the gig myself. So for me to, yeah, when I was looking out and when I was on the barrier, literally every three people, I knew someone from the gigs from before. So I was just like, oh yeah, these people fucking love this as much as I do. This is nuts. Exactly. Yeah, so yeah, no, I completely get it. And like, yeah, it's a lot of bands kind of become blasé to that, I guess, or just forget because it's so much work and it's so intense and the label wants this, or like, you've got to finish it by this. And then it's all this. So we need to be fucking constantly moving and selling and fucking doing stuff that people forget. Like those moments with those fans in up close shows are unbelievable. And yeah, like you said, it just reminded me of like why I started it and what I always wanted from a band.
Yeah. Everything else is glute, man. Everything in it, like truly, you know, we started the band to say, let's write good tunes. And if we can, let's play some shows. And, you know, 12 years later, that is still the most important thing. And to be fair, we had a stint when we were on like quite a major management thing, and they were great for us, but it was a bit of a, it was like more in the pop world. And it was just one of them where it was like great relationship, but just like, it's different worlds. We need to, again, be more true to ourselves, go kill it in the alternative world and make that, you know, go back home there, you know. But one of the wisest things that was said is like, and that's exactly what he said, and the only two things that matter, well, his wasn't the music and the fans, his was, it's the artist and the fans, and everything in the middle of that is glute. It's stuff that can be chopped, changed, moved around. You don't have to, but the two core things of it, fans and the artist, and that's really where the magic is. And that's where like the most successful bands tend to just write really good songs, be really good live, and just focus on being a band. And there's not too much other bullshit around them. So, yeah, I think, again, it's just simplifying. Taking a step back and being like you said, you get caught up in, God, labels and this, and that, you get caught up in playing the game. And maybe that's something that I think we, maybe during the pandemic, post-pandemic, kind of realized, like, let's stop worrying about that shit so much. Because it's just, it does. It takes away from what's ultimately so special about doing what we do. So, yeah, definitely a nice wake-up call.
It's just nice to see that you guys have that attitude and look towards everything. But as we start to wind down on this conversation a little bit, there's a few things I wanted to get in today. And obviously, you're very busy with all this new music. But I'm sure that you're also busy trying to plan a wedding in the background somewhere as well. First, congratulations on the engagement.
Congratulations.
And second, what's that like when you're trying to fit it in, I guess, in around touring and other schedules and life as a musician?
Yeah, it's tough, right, in terms of, I say it's tough. I am totally just complaining for the sake of complaining's sake, because it's my missus that's doing everything. My missus is like really doing all the hard work. I'm kind of there just like yes, no, or, you know, throwing my input around. But it is tough, you know, like we'd love to go on honeymoon straight after, but I think we've only got like a couple weeks before I'm back out on tour. And so that kind of sucks, but it is what it is, you know. It's been together for 10 years now, and it's about time. And I think that's the thing that, you know, even though I've got an album this year and our biggest headline show and stuff, the wedding is like the most important thing, or at least just getting married, you know, and having that day where people can celebrate me and Neve's relationship, because Neve has been there since the start of Neck Deep. So she's, you know, good friends with everyone, you know. It's me and Neve have been a team for a long time. And so I think as much as it's a celebration for us, it's almost a celebration for kind of everyone to get together and enjoy that. So yeah, it's I'm stoked, man. It's planning a wedding is stressful as fuck. It's annoying. Like, more so with like family dynamics kind of is a tough one.
Oh yeah.
Cause I'm like, you know, I've got a pretty big family, and like all my family that's local, like my immediate family, are all super close. And obviously that's the thing, but and then it's like when you get to like aunties and uncles and stuff you haven't seen in a long time, it's like, I love you, but I also love my best friend who I see all the time. And it's like, it's weird to pit up like family against friends and like, you know, who's coming and who's not, and who's coming to the ceremony, but then who's, because being invited to just the evening do, people see as like some sort of fucking slight towards them. It's like, no, it's just the way it is.
People would rather not be invited at all sometimes than just come to the night. It's like, yeah, but we can't afford, like, we've got, it's all done, yeah, oh, well, no, no, if I can't come to that. Like, what the... Just, for me, that's the best bit.
yeah, exactly.
Getting pissed and dancing with people's nuns.
It's annoying as well because, you know, you then talk to these aunties and uncles or whatever, all these family members, and they're just like, you know what... Honestly, don't worry. We're happy to do whatever. It's like, sound. I'm glad I argued with my mum for a week about this, and then you've just turned around and been like, you know what? It's fine. Don't worry about it. It's like, fucking, if you would have said that a couple months ago, it would have been a lot less of a headache. But yeah, it's one of those. I blame myself as well for having too many friends and too many people that, you know, I care about.
I'm
really
too bloody nice. My own fault. I'm too bloody nice.
In a way, like, I wish I didn't have so many fucking friends when it came to planning a wedding, because it's like, fucking hell, it's, you know, so many people. But it is what it is. And we both said, oh, small wedding, we'll do a small wedding. Or to be fair, Niamh was saying for ages, I just want to go, me and you, a couple friends, family, go get married and do it chill. And I was like, nah, I want so-and-so there and so-and-so there. Like, I couldn't get married without that. And then before you know it, it's like, 100 people at the wedding. It's like, oh god, and the food costs that much.
It's fucking mental.
What you should do for the friends you're not sure about, just get them all to do like a Royal Rumble type match, all throw each other over the top, and then the last so many you can afford to invite get to go to the wedding.
Death match. Yeah, that would be sick, good. Actually. Yeah, that would be sick. Fight for my love. Fight for my affection. I'll just take the hit. It's one day, isn't it? So whatever. Get everyone down. I'm sure everyone really just wants to be there to see each other and hang out and have a good time. Like I said, as much as it's about me and you getting married, it's about having all the people that we care about the most being together and being part of it. So yeah, I'm stoked.
Well, whatever you do, don't announce the date, because we've now known the mainstream media will make Green Day play a gig on that day.
Kanye turns up and I'm a literally.
Yeah. I'm going to let you finish, but I nearly had one of the
wedding of all time.
I nearly had the greatest wedding of all time. Yeah, but it's not fucking lasted, of it, Kanye. So get out, you bastard.
As we brought up wrestling, I did want to mention one thing. I mean, we've talked with you guys in the past about how you guys have always had like a love for that. But someone we've become very good friends with, fellow Welsh WWE superstar Tegan Knox, is a huge Neck Deep fan. And she was telling us before on the podcast that her entrance music, she had to quote someone for them to kind of make something based off. And she said Neck Deep. And her dream is to have you guys do a song for her as entrance music, right?
Ooh.
So how do we make this happen? Like, how, there's gotta be something where you can write a song or even get the licensing for one of yours to be made available to WWE. I mean, come on.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. It immediately reminded me of, even though they didn't write the song for Triple H, but Motorhead, obviously had Ace of Spades. Was it Ace of Spades? I think was that his entrance, or was it
maybe the game and
time to play the game.
All about a game, and I can play it. Yeah, no. So they did. Yeah, we could be like Motorhead. Yeah, if we can make a very very loose and sort of tedious connection to being anything like Motorhead, apart from being Welsh. Or a bit Welsh, because sick. We'll do it, definitely. As long as we get to play it and she rides in on a big-ass chopper, then, yeah, we're good. But no, definitely, fuck yeah. Tell her, you know, if you're in contact with her, let's go. Let's find some wrestling intro music. Fuck yeah.
We will DM her right after. If we're the reason you two get together and write a song, that's the best thing this podcast has ever done. So I'll take that. I'll take that 100%.
Yeah, West's going to freak out. West is the big wrestling guy, so I'm sure.
Yeah, just if you ever play her entrance music at WrestleMania, just invite us, please. That's all we are. That's all we are.
Yeah, we'd like to be there.
That's why we're doing it. That's why we're doing it. Gets to WrestleMania, yeah.
On the other flip side of that, right, I'm going to make a bold statement, but I think this is... I don't think anyone can argue that Neck Deep is the biggest musical outlet out of Wrexham, right?
Oh, yeah.
We, okay.
Yeah.
So... we're going to sort WWE, yeah? how do we get the Ryan Reynolds, Rob McElhenney, Neck Deep, Wrexham FC collaboration as well? Because they're going up, surely there's been
surely.
There's a little bit of a connection with the club, like not, I think only through like social media and stuff like that. And Wrexham Lager is a big fan and they've talked about that in the past. But I think it'll happen eventually, but we don't want to sweat it. I don't want to be like a plastic fan and be like, ooh, you know, now that we're doing well, you know, I don't want to sing when we're winning. So yeah, try not to rinse it too much, just playing it cool and wait and see what happens. But yeah, it's got to happen at some point. Truly, surely. Like,
yeah.
You know.
Oh, you'll be best friends with Ryan Reynolds in no time now.
Oh, mate, get Deadpool at the wedding. Get Deadpool to come to the wedding. Forget all the friends. Just get Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, just get him to invest in Neck Deep as well. We'll just be like, there's so much potential for growth, man, honestly, you know. We could,
yeah, be a great documentary,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But, nah, it'll happen. I think the big goal for us, truly, I think one of the coolest, truly like a bucket list thing, maybe like a goal for the band, like, we've talked about it kind of loosely slash jokingly, but not really joking. I would love, instead of playing Wembley Arena, I'd love to play the race course in Wrexham, because they have done gigs there, and it's about the same size, if not a smidge bigger. I think that would be so much cooler to be like, yeah, we sold out the race course instead of doing Wembley. That would be banging. So maybe it'll come around about then. Who knows?
Do when Wrexham was young. When Wrexham were young.
When Wrexham was young, it would have been Chavs versus... So we're bringing back Chavs versus Goths fight.
That's not bad, actually, yeah.
Chavs versus Goths fight.
That's 110.
In the bus station. Yeah, Royal Rumble in the bus station. spitballing people with McDonald's straws. But which, actually, if you know, millions, the sweets... You put them in a straw.
Stinger.
That's where the little, yeah, that's where me and my fucking dickhead mates evolved to. And then, yeah, definitely. I think we could build a festival out of the nostalgia days of Wrexham for sure. And it would be the scummiest festival of all time, but it would be a right laugh. It would be a good time. A lot of pub bands. a lot of like laddie, like, I want to be Oasis, but I don't really know what I'm doing, kind of thing. Yeah.
At least five renditions of Dakota by Stereophonics that day.
Yes.
Bands as well, obviously.
Sure. Yeah. Well, one of the only bands that has played in the race course was Stereophonics.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, wow.
That makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah. Oh, full circle. It all comes full circle, but yeah. Awesome.
Well, I want all of this to happen, not to put any pressure on you, because, you know, you're busy. But I want all this to happen now. So WWE, Wrexham, all this connection needs to happen.
Well, if they do a WWE event after race course, Neck Deep play Tegan Knox's theme, it's all one giant gig. And then the fucking UFOs come down that day. Oh, perfect. What a day.
That would be a great day. And I'm thinking, instead of calling it When We Were Young, I'm going to call it When We Were Scum.
We're cooking on gas, this is fucking brilliant.
Ben, honestly, thank you so much for taking the time, as always. I mean, it's always a great laugh and just nice to catch up with these things. Before you go, if there's anything else you'd like to mention or let people know about the album, please go ahead.
Ali Pally is the big one. Ali Pally is just that's the one I've got my eyes set on. You know, these days the playing the shows tends to be the kind of the bread and butter of bands. So if we can do that, that's been in the sights for a long, long time. So if we can sell that out, that'll be the mark of a successful record for me. I think if we can do that one justice. So if you haven't already, get your tickets for Ali Pally on the 25th of March, I want to say.
28th of March.
28th of March. Wow.
Yeah. Nice
mug. I deal in words, not numbers. Any form of number, I'm like, fucking no, thank you. My brain just melts.
I'm a singer and not a calendar.
Yeah. Yeah. Even as simple as counting the days on a calendar.
I don't know why I had to do that super South Welsh as well. I'm a singer, not a calendar, but...
Hold on, hold on. Let me sort this fucking little weasel out. Oi, shut up. Shut up, you little weasel.
Come on. Leave Morgan alone. He's only asking questions. Weasel. That's his new nickname.
Yeah, we got the weasel in the pit. He's the weasel. Oh. Yeah, he is, man. He is a little weasel. Right, cool. He should have. Right.
Well, perfect timing, really, I think.
Well, it was a great ending, to be fair. So there we are. No, Ben, honestly, thanks again. Very excited for this album. Excited for Ali Pally. And yeah, just keep it up and keep flying that flag.
Like, yeah, thank you very much, man. Thanks for having us again. Appreciate it. Always a good time. Well, I'll see you maybe, I don't know. I'm guessing you'll be on the festivals this year. We'll see.
Well, we try our best to come to Ali Pally.
Oh, fuck yeah. All right, sick. If you're going to come down for that, then yeah, I'll definitely
do that. Yeah, why not?
Fuck yeah.
Nice. Tidy. Well, thank you very much. Always great. Appreciate you very much. Send our love to the boys. Thank you.
Will do. Thank you, fellas. Appreciate you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to Sapping Podcast! Yes! Woo! I love me some Ben Barlow. What a lovely, lovely chap. What a great family. I love his brother Seb as well. Fantastic. I love seeing him doing so well. Congratulations.
Yeah, it's just the fact that all the energy around the band is just having fun and just a good laugh in between writing music that is serious, that is emotional. And again, just not so serious at times as well. They're like the perfect modern day Blink in their own way. And it's just ace that they're kind of killing it in the States, especially. They're going to be out on tour pretty much for a month over there. And then coming back to the UK to do Alexandra Palace, of all places, when I'm sure that's going to be a giant party. Go and pick up this new record, self-titled Neck Deep. It's one you definitely need to hear in 2024, and it's out today. So a nice little celebration that we can do this on release day as well and just get the insight into everything.
I do love UFOs, mind. I do love a UFO.
There was a bit where you two were going on about that, and I'm just there like, I'm lost. I have no idea.
I genuinely thought about derailing the podcast and just being like, should I just have a chat with Ben about what's going on in the UFO world and community? I was like, I could take up a good 2 hours of this. And then... The problem is we got this power now, this power situation with my current laptop where it eats power at an incredible rate I'm recording. So there was that worry. But yes, great chat again with Ben.
Is that a UFO force interacting with your technology?
No, it's the government. It's the government.
Ah, okay.
The government know I know too much. They're sending a surge down the power line to my laptop, which my laptop battery is now dying. Don't get me wrong. I've had it 4 years. But come on, innit? Don't break down, I guess. There must be a new one out because it's doing that thing where when new computers come out, this one started going slow and the battery's fucking dying. So, yeah. Hey, if you'd like me to have a faster computer, check out patreon.com for what's happening because I need one. And I'm also looking to get an house this year, which would be nice. But hey, Yeah, no more begging for me, but yes, this was a lovely chat with Ben Barlow. I like him very much, and I look forward to Neck Deep 4. Neck Depth. Yeah,
that's what we call it. Yeah, God knows we've done so many times then. But speaking of our Patreon, if you head over there, not only do get involved in this community we always go on about, right, but you do get exclusive news about whatever we're doing first. And let me just tell you this, right? Next week, we have an announcement that might be one of the maddest fucking things we've ever been able to do. And I'm very ecstatic about letting everyone know what we're going to be fucking doing and can talk about. So if you're wondering, Morgan, what the fuck are you on about? Patreon.com/slapnin. You'll find out there first before we announce it next week.
Yes, we've done several sort of like preemptive announcements on the Sapnin group. I announced the blackout dates early on there. Support. Recently, the blackout merch went up there first before we started advertising online, so they could have a look. Yeah, so if you're interested in anything like I'm interested in anything, me or Morgan, patreon.com/sapnin. But right now, I have to give a massive thank you to the elite members of our podcast. Check out the description of this podcast and you see loads and loads and loads of names who are already part of the Patreon, and we love those people very much. But I have to say a massive thank you to the following: Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi, Janelle Caston, Paul Hirschfield, Tony Michaels, Scarlett Charlton, Dilly Califragilistic XB, Alan Grimwood, Nathan Croshaw, Mitch Perry, Kelly Irwin, Molly Malloy and James Bowerbank, Amy Louise, Kat Besant, Alexandra Pemberton, Jonathan Gutierrez, Jenny Robertson, Amy Dawson, Murray Grimwood, Scott Jones, Stuart McNaught, Ellen Southfield, Caroline Robertson, Stephen Aston, Kate Paddock, Jenny Munster, Louis Cook, Carl Pendlebury, James McNaught, Jason Heredia, Martina McManus, John and Emma, Danny Eaton, Sean Fines, M. Evans Roberts, Evan, Ollie Amesbury, Emily Perry, Adam King of the Goths, Parslow, Kalila Keane, Josh, did you hear about the... What does that say? Wait here. I've got to click his name to see the full thing. He's put it all in one. Josh, did you hear about the guy with the misspelled tattoo? He says he has no regrets. Crisp. That is terrible and taken from an actual tattoo. Thank you very much, Vicky. Kyle Bounty Chocolate Fan David Smith. I'm also a Bounty fan myself. And last but not least, Conor Lewins and family. Please, 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 if you've ever considered joining them, now is the time to do it. My car broke down this morning and will not start. So along with a dying battery of a laptop, all the batteries in my life. Do you know what? I've just sussed out all the batteries in my life, including my social, mental, my actual battery. All my batteries are failing.
You need a good charge. You need a good charge.
I'd love to, but there's no fucking possible time to. What a fucking terrible end. But yeah, check out patreon.com/sapnin, x.com/sapnin, instagram.com/sapninpod. Oh, the other one was sapnin pod as well. Just sapnin pod on socials. Look, I've just reminded myself how my life is. Let's move on.
Thank you for listening. We love you all very, very much. Very special announcement next week. And until then, keep party rocking.
Oh, I thought it was going to be more than
that. Now say,
Sapnin!
Sapnin!
I do all my own vocals.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.